From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, 1240 AM. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, the spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that He loves.
And of course, that was Al Barbarino singing our theme song,
Our Dear Friend. And by the way, this theme song was written by Paul Val.
And the guy who's talking is Dr. Tony Schiffo.
And the other guy is Dr. John Palmer. And we're two kids in love with Jesus, and we want to spread that love throughout Long Island. Actually, we're watchmen. In tomorrow's first reading in Ezekiel, the Lord calls Ezekiel a watchman. Do you know what a watchman is, John?
Somebody who fixes my timers.
No, it was in those days during war, they assigned a watchman to watch for the enemy. And if he didn't find or see the enemy, he was punished. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that we can convert. And we're watchmen for those people.
I just don't want to get punished. Don't punish me. You know, I think it's important sometimes to stop and just explain to the listeners, and particularly my friend George, the purpose of the show. Our show is really encouraging people of all religions to have a close, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And no matter how we go about it, no matter what we do, that's what we are after. And when we choose music for the show, I do it in prayer. And the songs that are chosen are an integral part of what we want to teach. The words are so important. So, you know, while I know it's usual just to get up and walk around or go to the bathroom or whatever you have to do during that time, listen to the words. Although today you may have a little trouble because the words are going to be in Haitian Creole.
And this is a personal message to George from myself, Anthony. George, we
thank
love
you.
We thank you so much for listening to the show. We know you're a good fan of ours. But please, for the sake of Palmer, don't get up and leave when he plays the music because he spends a lot of time choosing it. We love you, and thank you so much, George.
You know I'm going to hear it from George later on during the week when I see him. Today's show is really Jesus' calling to us across all cultures. You know, Tony, you and I have a very limited perspective, white, middle-class, Catholic. But Jesus touches all groups, all colors, all creeds, and he's calling everybody to that intimate personal relationship.
And his love knows no boundaries.
Yeah. And we have to also emphasize, we're not theologians. That's the last thing I could ever be. Because, well, theologians are wonderful and they explain stuff. You know, I'm a heart person, and I go with the heart, and mm-hmm. And the will, free will choice.
And we're just two little kids.
We can't beat that to
death. With fire in our heart. I know, but we are.
And we have a special guest today in Marie's side. And Marie is Marie Josie side. And Marie Josie is from the Haitian ministry in the diocese. And we're going to talk a little bit about the call to Jesus in Marie's life, but also all across the Haitian community. And I've chosen music today just to kind of put us in the mood. And the first song is a hymn of creation. Now, George, listen carefully. It's in Haitian Creole. Isn't that a beautiful song?
That was beautiful. I don't know what the words were, but I was getting the chills.
Yeah, Marie, it's a song of love. Maybe you can tell people who are listening what that song is about.
It's called the Hymn of Creation. It's praising God for all he has created in nature, like the heaven, the sky, the stars, the waters, the birds, all the animals, the flowers, everything he has created, he has given us as a gift in nature.
That's why I was getting the chills.
Yes.
But you know, you don't have to understand the language to hear God in that music,
yes.
do you?
It was gorgeous.
There.
Yes.
And that's Ludwig. I don't remember Ludwig's last name.
Joseph.
Yes. And Reginald?
Reginald McGraw.
And they are a part of a music group called The Believers.
The Believers. Oh.
You know how I first heard that song? I was doing a Saturday seminar. I used to do Saturday seminars. I'm going to go back to Tuesday night seminars in September. But the Saturday seminars, Ludwig and Reginald came with about 15 to 20 people from Brooklyn, the Diocese of Brooklyn, to be part of the seminar praying for healing. And they sang that song, and it just blew me away. And I couldn't help but just fall in love with God, even though I didn't understand a word. And that's the universality of God's call.
Exactly.
Yep. And it goes right through you.
Exactly.
And by the way, John, did you ever take those singing lessons?
No, I gave you the money for? I'm dancing now.
Oh, but listen, could I have my money back?
No. Marie, you have to get used to this guy. You know, it's just the way it is. What are we going to do?
Marie, he's stuck with me. There's nothing he can do about it. I vote for him anyway.
You're doing such a great team. You're such a great team. You're good together.
We're so silly, and we have so much fun. Mm-mm. But you know what? Even during the week, because I have a word gift, and I go and pray a lot, right? And I get a lot of funny things. And saying, you know, theologians would be very upset. I mean, I'm saying to God that I get laughed at things. You know, I'm walking to church and I'm hearing ignorance is bliss and innocence is bliss. And you are twice blessed because you are ignorant, but you're innocent as well. And I laugh. And the words I get from, you know, why would you limit me to not having a sense of humor? If I'm going to relate to people personally, I have an infinite number of ways to get in. And language is no barrier because I speak the language of the heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's
amen.
What matters.
Amen, amen, yes. amen.
Yes. How did God talk to your heart, Marie? And maybe you tell people a little bit about yourself. I mean, Marie Josie.
Marie Josie, yes. I love both.
Go ahead, Marie.
So, as they introduced me, my name is Marie Josie Seyid, and I'm Haitian, and I work with the Haitian Apostolate in the Diocese of Rockville Center in the Department of New Evangelization, where I met Dr. John Palmer in February 2006. We started the same day.
Yes, we did.
And we sat across each other in the same office.
And the office has never been the same since.
Amen. Amen to that. Yes, and
how did God touch you?
God touched me. He's been calling me for years. But it's sad to say, and I'm sorry to say it, but this is the truth. I've been fighting that call, giving like the distraction of this world, I get over me. And when I started getting into charismatic prayer, I gave it a name. It's called distractions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Distractions. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy, it creates a lot of distraction in our life. And then if we don't stay in prayer, we don't pay attention to that. We don't recognize what it is. And then we fall right into the trap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I fell into that trap too for years. When I went after high school, I went into a commercial, bilingual commercial school in Haiti with the Sisters of St. Anne. And then that's how I became an administrative assistant, a bilingual administrative assistant. And then I remember the second year, Sister Ellen Chenier, she's with God now. God may her soul rest in peace. She came into the classroom and then she asked the girls and who would be interested in becoming a sister. And then at that time, I felt something. And I said, but I got to start working because I need to make some money. Because when I'm finishing and then now, okay. And then I shut it down.
So I went into the world working, and maybe I thought I would become rich. I never became one. And then I went into life working and then supporting my family, because I grew up as an orphan. Uh-huh. Yes, and then my mom and dad died. I was 2 years old, and they died like 1 month distance. So we were eight. So the oldest one, we supported each other. I mean, not me, because I was 2 years old. They supported me. So we grew up like supporting this. We grew up like supporting each other. Like, that's how I became the Marie I am now today, by the grace of God. And with their help, may they be blessed, each and every one of my brothers and sisters, for what they did of me by the grace of God. And so I said to myself, I have to go. I have to start working to give back a little bit from what I received, because to support my family, my brothers and sisters, and to help them with their kids, those who were married, and then to support myself too. So I went on with the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then for years, and then I never paid attention to the call again. And then, but Jesus, he never gives up. He keeps giving you little reminders. Every now and then, he gives you little reminders. And then the distraction kept going on and on and on. And then, you know what? Until I started working with Charismatic Prayer Group, belonging to Charismatic Prayer Group, and then studying discerning and going to Life in the Spirit seminars. And then I started getting back on track, and then waking up, I would say, mm-hmm. in my faith in Jesus. And then even there, I remember after a Life in the Spirit seminar, and then the prayer group I belonged to, they used to call to other peers from other prayer groups to the last day, and then they to help them pray on every participant. And then I remember once I went to Life in the Spirit seminar, and then the last day there were like two women who prayed over me, and then one of them, she started singing. I mean, that was the way she was giving the message.
Mm-hmm.
And then here come Jesus, like, telling me, why are you fighting? Because I don't want to steal anything from you. I just want to love you.
Mm.
And then I started crying and crying. And then after that, it wasn't the time that I jumped in. I spent like two more years wandering in the wilderness
mm-hmm.
before one day at my parish, there is a sister. I belong to the adult choir at my parish, and we sing every second and fourth Sunday. And then I think it was the first Sunday of February 2008. There is a sister at my parish. She is a daughter of wisdom. I didn't know that. And then once she was talking, she said, "Do you know Mary, I'm a daughter of wisdom?" And then I said, And then I said, I went to school with them in Haiti. I spent all my high school years with them. And then she was the one giving an announcement this first Sunday of February 2008. And then but at that time I was praying, because I heard the call of God, but I still didn't get the strength
exactly
to jump in. Mm-hmm. And then I started praying to God, how do you want me to serve you? What do you want me to do? Because I know that you want me to do something for you. What do you want me to do, and how do you want me to do it? And then at a certain point, I started praying to him. I said, okay, I'm going to make the same prayer that King Solomon made. I said, would you please give me wisdom so to know how to go? And then every day I was making that same prayer. Give me wisdom. And then this first Sunday of February 2008, when they were doing the announcement, here comes Sister, her name is Sister Bernadette Sassoon, And she comes to the microphone, and then she had a flyer, and then she said, the Daughters of Wisdom are inviting young and old, young of age and young at heart, like up to 47 years old, to come to a discernment meeting, like they call it Emmaus meal, and then so to meet with them, and then to, you never know, if you feel the call, and then you might join them. And then suddenly I started, I felt like a kind of a sweat in my back, mm-hmm. and then my breath became short. I said, you know, when Jesus wants to talk to you, he makes sure that you understand that he's talking to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And then I told him my heart, but it wasn't hot, but I was hot because I was sweating like crazy. And then I said, Jesus, I'm praying, asking you for wisdom. Is it the way you're answering me? You want me to go with the Daughters of Wisdom? And then after Mass, I didn't go right away to Sister. I went home. I didn't say anything to anybody. And then because Sister has said, if you're interested, go to her, and then she will give you the paper and all the information with the place to go when they had that meeting. So I went back home. I said nothing to anybody. And then I went into prayer. And then, so, you know, when it's time for you to budge, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And then you just can't help it. And then the next thing I know, during the weekend, the Saturday following this Sunday, and then I went into the directory of the church, and then I said, Sister, could I have the flyer you were talking about? Because I'm interested in going. She said, no kidding, Mary. You want to go? You interested? I said, I think so. And then that's how it started. That's how it started. So I went to this Emmaus meal. It was at the Sisters of the Poor on Springfield Boulevard in Queens.
Mm-hmm. I know them well.
Yes, yeah, and they are very nice. And it was, I think, the evening of March 6, 2008. That was my first encounter with the Daughters of Wisdom. And actually, I went online because they had sent us pictures. I don't know why I was cleaning my email. And then I came across this email that the director, the lady who works in the vocation office of the Diocese of Brooklyn, because she organized that Emmaus meal evening. And then she has sent us the picture. I said, is it not a coincidence that when I'm going for this radio show this Saturday, and then I come across the pictures of my first encounter with the Daughters of Wisdom, and then I printed them out.
Yes. That's God, huh?
Yes.
But, Marie, doesn't Jesus work so slowly and calmly and lovingly to win you over? He doesn't come in like a cyclone,
no.
Right? And he's just lovingly just trying to draw you and drawing you into him.
Exactly.
So finally, we're there.
Yes, exactly. He's so patient. I used to tell people now. I said, you know, Jesus, he never gets discouraged. And then I said, when he wants you to do something, no matter how old you are, no matter what you're doing, he will get you to do it. It's never too late with him. It's never too late. I was asking Jesus what he wants me to do, but I wasn't thinking about religious life at all. That was the last of my thoughts.
So when you mention religious life, you mean going into the convent?
Yes. Yes. And then when Sister gave this announcement, I said, I didn't know that they were accepting people at that age, 47. I was 47 years old at that time.
27.
Look upon me. You're never too old. He's a good example.
Now 97
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Mm-mm. You'll have time to be 97. Wait. Yes, and then that's how I started my working with the Jesus through the Daughters of Wisdom, and then going to all the stages, and then going with mentors. I had a sister to mentor me with on one of the stages, and then now I'm up to the stage of entering the pre-novitiate, which I am about to do next week.
Yeah, we'll pray for you.
Yes,
pray for you, yes. And I'm so honored to have met you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
You know what I loved when you were saying, You know how when Jesus wants to talk to you, mm-hmm. like you felt heat, you felt chills or mm-hmm. sweats. And so many of us get those feelings. I bet, Trevor, you've had them. See, he's shaking his head. He's a Baptist minister. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Jesus is going across religions, touching people and letting them know, hey, I'm calling you. I have work for you. Trevor works here at this radio station. He's our engineer, but he has his own show.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm a listener to Trevor. I don't know if you know that. I listen to your show.
He has a ministry that he's been called to. And he also has his own ministry and his own church that he works in. But God called Trevor, called Marie, called Tony, called me, called everybody.
Yes.
I want to ask, is he talking Haitian Creole or in English?
Yeah. Jesus, he speaks all languages.
Okay.
All languages.
God made them all.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And Haiti is such a religious country that I don't think too many people realize how religious Haiti really is. As I mentioned, 85% of the population are Catholic, and their patron saint is the Lady of Perpetual Health. And they have a venerable person that's up for sainthood. I think his name is Pierre Toussaint.
Toussaint.
And
yes.
He was a slave.
Yes.
And he became a businessman, and he gave everything away. And he was a servant person. So it's such an impressive.
It's almost the perfect time to go into the saint of the day, huh? Why not?
I'm ready.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, saint, it was a very difficult decision, but the saint that I chose was St. John Mark. And St. John Mark is the writer of the scriptures, according to Mark. So in the Bible, there are four retellings of the life of Jesus. Three or four Gospels. Two of them are known as the Gospel of Mark and Luke. And so the Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark, but it said that the information was given to him through St. Paul, because he was a follower of St. Paul. So it was very embarrassing for John Mark. He had to run through the streets with no clothes on, believe it or not. And he only hoped no one would see him. It had all begun earlier in the week. Two men had come to his mother's house. They made arrangements for a special meal to be held there in the upstairs room. Hmm. And guess who those two men were? A man named Jesus and his 12 friends did have supper there. Then, very late at night, they all went out. He'd been curious and had slipped out of bed to follow them. And stupidly, just wrapping a linen sheet around him. They went to a garden known as Gethsemane. He hid in the shadows, watching to see if anything would happen. Sometime after midnight, the high priest guards came along with one of the men who had supper with him, and we all know who that was. Then the man kissed Jesus, and then the guards arrested Jesus. There was a shuffle, some fighting, and you know what Peter did. Then Jesus' friends ran away. The guards tried to catch them, but in all the confusion, they caught poor John Mark. He struggled, and the sheet slipped off him, and he was able to dash away into darkness, naked. The embarrassed young man was John Mark. Over the next few days, the friends of Jesus used John Mark's mother's upstairs room more and more as a secret meeting room. John Mark learned about Jesus and realized just how special he was. In particular, he became a close friend of one of Jesus' disciples, the man named Peter. In time, John Mark himself became a follower, a disciple of Jesus, as did the man he thought of as Uncle Barabbas. Several years later, he set off on a long journey with Barabbas and another Christian named Paul to take the good news about Jesus to places such as Asia. After a while, John Mark left Barabbas and Paul. And Paul got angry because he felt that John Mark deserted him. And so this annoyed Paul very much. But years later, when Paul was being kept under arrest in Rome, he asked Timothy to arrange for John Mark to go to Rome to help him. About that time, Peter also went to Rome, and he preached quite openly about Jesus, and the large crowds who came to listen persuaded John Mark to write down everything for Peter. It seems that John Mark did this and made copies of the gospel for all who wanted. This is probably how John Mark became an evangelist. But he wasn't just an evangelist. He spoke, and he had no problem in telling people their ill ways. He had no problem in telling people, you're wrong for doing this. And again, so again, he agitated people. And so the final result for John Mark was that he was martyred. And the way that he was martyred was because he alienated in his evangelization people that didn't want to be alienated. So they put a rope around his neck, they tied him to a horse, and they dragged him with the horse until he died. But the point is that in tomorrow's first reading of Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, you are to speak up to the evildoers. You are to let them know that they are doing evil, because you are my watchman. And I explained what a watchman was before. And if you don't do your watchman's job, you will be held responsible. And so that's the short story of John Mark and his Bible. But his writings are, quite honestly, very action-packed. He wrote about Jesus. But he didn't write about the parables. He wrote about the action, the people that Jesus cured. He cured and helped so many people. He was truly what I call a servant leader, because Jesus had so much love for everybody. And Mark portrayed that in his writings, that he had so much love. He was there to be a servant. And nowadays they have servant leadership. And I always attribute servant leadership to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. One more thing, before you interrupt me.
I wasn't going to interrupt.
The theme in John Mark's...
Maybe I will now.
But you seem interested, Palmer. The theme...
I didn't fall asleep.
This is very interesting now. That in the writings of John Mark, and the themes in John Mark's mirrors our mission statement perfectly. Because the themes are that Jesus is concerned about every aspect of our lives. Jesus' actions parallel his words, and so must ours if we hope to be a positive witness of him. And our mission statement is that, and this was before we knew that it was in the gospel, and I think Jesus gave us that mission statement, is that Jesus wants to be involved in all aspects of our lives, our personal life, our business life, our family life. He's just waiting there to be invited into our lives. So come on, people. Invite him. He's a good guy.
You know, Tony, I didn't know that story. And it's so fascinating to realize, you know, John Mark, was just like you and me, hiding at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Hiding.
Waiting to see what happens. You know, he had an unusual call to run naked into the night, but you know.
A little embarrassing, but.
I think if I got a call to run naked into the night, we'd lose a lot of people.
Well, John Mark was, he received the calling from Jesus. I mean, he was, by the way, he was it's not mentioned, but in the research it came out that he was one of the servants at Canaan. At the wedding of Canaan, he was one of the servants that brought the water to be changed to wine. And that's probably what won him over to Jesus when he saw, wow, Jesus changed water into wine. So, and also, his mother's house was the house that they used for the Last Supper.
You know, and people that don't realize you can get called in unusual places. When we were finally coming to a decision about making this show, we were in Burger King, and we were sitting in Burger King saying, all right, maybe we'll do this once a week. It's a little expensive, but that's all right. But what are we going to call it? And we didn't know. So we stopped for a moment and said, well, let's pray. And then we heard the word, listen up. I said, okay, listen up. And then Jesus is on the air. And that's the calling we have.
Yes.
We're doing it.
Yes.
We're crazy. We're young at heart. I like that. I like when you said young at heart, Marie. We're young at heart.
Amen.
And we're in love. And we're in love with Jesus.
And there is a new hallelujah going on all over the world. A new hallelujah.
Bring it on, John.
Where Jesus is going to touch every heart, every soul. Listen to Michael Smith. George, listen to Michael Smith and the words.
Come on, George, we want you to listen. We're going to ask questions.
No, don't put the wash on.
Church from Africa to Australia.
Isn't that fun? That's the children's voices on there for the Ugandan Children's Choir. And the concert was given in Australia. And this, I was led to the song because of the call of Jesus across cultures. Amen. Doesn't care. Color, skin, creed, anything. Doesn't care. He wants everybody.
Amen.
And it's not an exclusive club. He wants us all. You know, I was, as the song was playing, I had the image of everyone walking in the world who was not with Jesus, walking like in the night of the living dead. And those who are called to new life are walking in the daylight of Jesus.
Amen.
And really, that's what we're called to. And that's why I wanted that song right there. A wake-up call for everyone in the audience. I don't care where you're driving or where you're sitting. Even if you're in the bathroom, we want you just to rise up and let Jesus in. How is Jesus working in the Haitian community after the earthquakes? Do you have any? Because I remember going over to your prayer group one Sunday, and there were maybe 100, 150 people there, and they were all so much into shock and hurt, and especially a country that's so Catholic, saying, where are you, God? You know, how is the Spirit working?
You know, after the earthquake, I heard some people, I mean, they could not understand. I heard the reflection of some people here when they saw the Haitian people in Haiti, like in the midst of what you saw, what you knew, what happened after the earthquake, in the midst of all this disaster, their hands were up in the air, praising God.
Yeah.
But they could not understand. They could not understand how they could still, I mean, it's like, okay, after all that happened to you, and then how can they be so joyful? What is the faith that they have in God?
Mm-hmm.
This is how deep the faith of the Haitian people is. It's very, and then that's what keeps them standing up and going through life, no matter the difficulty, no matter, I mean, not having money, not having enough food to feed their children, not being able to send them to school, not having a house to stay, with the house collapsed, with all the bodies still buried underground, not being able to pull them out, they were still praising God and staying faithful. I mean, a lot of people couldn't understand that, but this is the type of faith that the Haitian, I mean, I call it a great gift. That's the greatest gift ever.
And that faith will get anybody through anything.
Yes.
Once you have faith in Jesus, you can get through anything that's thrown at you.
Yes, and that's what Jesus, I believe, that's the way he wants us to be. Because it's not the staying in faith is not in good time. It is also to be in bad time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when our faith is, I mean, I would say it's priceless. Jesus is so happy when you're facing this, I would say, awful moments. And then you still look at him, you still reach out to him, because you know he is the one.
Yes.
And he is the one, he's the best, there is no other one.
And it's a combination of faith mixed with strong love.
Yes.
And that's what tomorrow's gospel is going to be about. Love. And how Jesus tells us that that's the most powerful thing is love. That handles all the commandments.
And I remember we were worried about Father Eaton. Tell people.
Yes, when he went to Haiti, and then so he was stuck in one of the suburbs, so he couldn't come back because there was no flight. He went after the earthquake to see, to spend some days to see how things were going in his suburb with his family and his home parish. Mm-hmm. And then so he was stuck because there was no plane.
We should mention Father Eaton has the responsibility
for
the Haitian community.
He is the coordinator of the Haitian community. Actually, he is on vacation. He could have been here today, but he's on vacation. He's on vacation. He's in Haiti, spending some days in Haiti. And so everybody at the office was worried. And then they kept asking me, Mary, do you have any news of Father Eaton? Do you know if he is well? And then so I kept trying everything to get in touch with him. Even the phone lines, they weren't working well. So I kept trying everything. And then finally I got a hold on him. And then so he sent me a note and then telling me through a friend that has the Magic Jack, something like that.
Oh.
And then, yes.
I'm familiar with that.
And then so they said he could talk to us. He said, I'm okay, but I'm trying to find out if I could find a way through the Dominican Republic to get back. So, yes.
And I was so worried about the Haitian community with the heavy rains that were going through just recently, because a lot of them are still living in tents and are afraid to go back into homes.
Yes.
Do you have any feedback as to how they survived that?
I don't have details about that, per se. But I know since after the earthquake, a lot of people, like I went after the earthquake.
You went to Haiti?
Yeah, I went to Haiti after the earthquake. And then because we have a brother who's still living in Port-au-Prince. Oh. And then the house where he stayed, was very damaged. So it wasn't easy to find a new place because there were so many houses who collapsed. It wasn't easy to find a new place to stay. Mm-hmm. So we went back, my sister and myself, to help him out to find a new place. And then we stayed at a friend's house. She is a member of a prayer group we belong to. And then her house was okay, but she would not sleep inside. All the doors stayed open. She would sleep under a tent in her backyard. And then she said, whenever I hear anything, I'm ready to run out. And then most people were sleeping all dressed with their clothes on because they're ready to
run.
Yes, they're ready to run.
As a psychologist, that's post-traumatic stress disorder.
Exactly.
I get that every day. Go ahead.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And then I can imagine a lot of people are still living under the tents, and then when the rain comes, it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy.
Are the schools open now?
Yes, they open.
Are they rebuilding?
It is a slow process. It is a slow process. Because the damage was so deep, it's a very slow process. It's going to take time.
And the reason why I'm going here is because I know there's still a need for help.
Yes.
And financial help or any kind of help. Prayer, certainly.
Oh, prayers a lot.
Is there any place that people could call? Could they call at the diocese? And maybe if they want to offer help in some way?
I believe they could call the mission office. Because
Father Joe McCabe.
Yes. Because I know they started a mission in Haiti now. We have a Marianal priest, a Haitian Marianal priest. He's the only Haitian priest in the Marianal order. And they started a mission in Haiti. Mm. So actually they keep sending up because a lot of churches, they collapsed.
Yeah.
And then they lost everything. So they sending, Father Joe sent a bunch of vestments and church articles to say mass and to the parishes so that they can be distributed to the parishes. He did the best he could.
So if anyone wants to help the Haitian people, they should call the diocese.
Yes.
516-678-5.
5800.
Father Joe, do you know his extension?
They could call Debbie's extension like 201.
Extension 201. 678-5800. Extension 201. You can speak to Debbie.
Yeah.
And Father Joe handles the propagation of the faith for
yes,
the diocese.
Yes, the mission office, yeah.
And he'll, they set up that mission down there. I pray for the people from Haiti because I was so touched by that one Sunday that I was there with you.
In Elmont at St. Boniface.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And then they loved it. They were so grateful.
We didn't
that
do
you
anything outside of play music and try to help them work.
But
work
you
there.
Did this talk about how to handle the grief, and then it helped a lot.
Oh, because I'm sure.
Yeah, because it's a long process. Even a lot of people moved here after the earthquake, but they're still under shock because I still receive a lot of calls like from places where they have Haitian families. And then they're still under the shock. They cannot. They cannot recover.
It.
They cannot
That's
recover
right.
from what happened. People were working, and then now they're jobless. Uh-huh. They are like they have family. They have children. So
And how quickly it can happen. We had an earthquake that just went up the East Coast, which we all experienced. Mm-hmm. It was nowhere near what you had and what people had there.
No.
But how quickly that could happen. And even the hurricane that just passed through, although I guess it was a hurricane, a lot of flooding and people, a lot of damage.
Yes.
How quickly things
can
happen.
A lot of anxiety.
Yeah. And the only way to deal with that is, like you said, let your faith surface.
Yes.
That's the only way. Otherwise, you go crazy.
Yes. Your faith and your love for Jesus.
Yeah. A lot of them, actually, sadly to say, a lot of them went crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of people died from heart attacks.
You know, Palmer's a good guy to keep around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's why I keep him around.
Definitely.
I like being around too. And we're going to spend time praying for healing, not only for the people of Haiti, but all the people who have called us.
Yeah.
And Marie, you might want to back up a bit towards the microphone, just if you have anything you want to say.
Okay.
And Jesus, we ask you right now, thank you first of all for that beautiful gift of Marie, her testimony, and her heartfelt love for you. What a beautiful testimony she truly is. And we thank you, Lord. Now we ask, we're imploring, help the people of Haiti. Help those who are still suffering from post-traumatic stress. Help those who are still wondering, God, where are you? And fill them with your faith, Lord. Bless them. We praise you, Lord. And we have tragic news from our own community. Brenda Pistani's brother died, and we're praying for his soul and Brenda and her family. Brenda works with us in the renewal office.
And also Lena, who we had on the show last week,
suffered
a terrible accident. She broke her shoulder, her ribs, and is in tremendous, tremendous pain. And today she was hosting the birthday of the Blessed Mother.
Mm.
And so she wasn't able to be there, but some people did do it, and I was there for a few moments. And so we're offering prayers for Lena for a speedy recovery, and we thank Jesus for giving us Lenny and Lena and all that she does for the Blessed Mother, and also Father Walther, who was an associate pastor at St. Catherine of Siena, had a car accident the other day, and he's also in the hospital, and we pray for him.
And we pray for all of the petitions, Lord, that have been sent in. They're on the table before us. We put our hands on them, Lord. And we ask you, Jesus, enter into the heartfelt needs of each person who sends their request to us. And Liz, we keep you in our prayers. Liz has Chiari disease and is recovering beautifully. Although every now and then, Liz, I have to bring out the roll of paper towels because the pain comes out and you cry a bit. We understand. But your pain is very normal and very natural.
And we love you, Liz. And you are our poster child.
That's right.
And we pray for you daily. And we also want to pray again for Teresa, who was been diagnosed with lung cancer, but I think she's okay. And Marita, who's doing very well.
Marita's going to be on our show shortly.
Yes, and again, we love you, Marita, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the show. And we pray for all the for the children that you cured, and for Victoria, who you cured of cancer, 3-year-old child, and the likelihood of it coming back is very null. And for David, who's doing very well, by the way, Dr. Palmer.
Okay, and Marie, you have a prayer?
I'd like to pray for vocation, and then so that the youth, young of age and young at heart, who might have heard the call of God and who might not have a chance to find the proper environment to help them discern and then to go ahead with this call of God to serve Him in a certain way, so that they can find the strength and then so that they can find the support they need to follow the call of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'd like also to pray in a special way for the older daughters of wisdom, those in the United States province and then and all around the world, and I ask them to bless them, to strengthen them in their ministry.
And we pray for you, Marie.
Thank
you'll be entering the convent, and our prayers are with you, and we're very, very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm honored to say that I know you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the prayers. I do need them.
And Trevor, we're going to play the final song, which is I Think of You.
Okay. And by the way, while we're getting to the final song, if you have any petitions you want to send, you can send it to listenup, 1240@AOL.com. LISTENUP, 1240@AOL.com. We'll respond to each and every request and each and every email.
And on September 13th at St. Mary's, I'm beginning a Tuesday night seminar series on becoming intimate with Jesus.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, Trev.
Yeah.